audience knows how fascinated I am with language, especially English, but also Greek and Hebrew. And I have both just a passion for language and an interest in it, but I'm also often puzzled by it and sometimes saddened by the way words which have great meaning sort of fall into disuse or have their meanings changed. I remember when I was in high school, the word nice had been so overused that it had become pejorative. People would say, well, isn't that nice? And you knew that they weren't saying something positive. And then I think it was in the 70s that the word bad came to mean really good. So they'd say, man, he was bad. And you'd know that meant this is a great person. The same thing has happened with the word charity. Now, the word charity is okay with us as long as it's us giving somebody else charity. Somebody who's in desperate need, the victims of the tsunami or of earthquake or fire or starvation. And then we give to charities. We give money to charities and we give to help those who are in need. But I don't want your charity. See how negative the word is there? And it's really become that way in our language. Charity, unless it's me doing the giving, is negative. I don't want charity. Why don't we want charity? That's what I want to think about this morning. Why don't we want charity? And what does that word even mean? What does this word charity mean? I want to read you just very briefly a section of 1 Corinthians 13. This is the chapter on love, which we're all so familiar with. It's read at weddings all the time. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And this translation is similar to almost all modern translations of 1 Corinthians 13, whether it's the Revised Standard, the New American Standard, the New King James, the NIV, the New Living. They all read about like this, and I'm going to start and just read verses 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That's about how most modern translations read. And I actually like very much what I hear there. But if you remember, 40 years ago, of course, I wasn't around then, couldn't possibly, wasn't I? No, maybe I was. About 40 years ago, maybe even longer than that, there was a song called Faith, Hope, and Charity. Remember that? Faith, Hope, and Charity, that's the way that it should be. Faith, Hope, and Charity. Faith, Hope, and Charity. Where did that come from? Well, it came from 1 Corinthians 13, from the King James. And I want to read that to you now. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. This is what you just heard a second ago from the New Living. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And then at the very end of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says this, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. That's where the song Faith, Hope, and Charity comes from. It's line 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. It's that sentence there. The loss that I think that we've suffered in the change of language and our rejection of this idea of charity is we don't distinguish it from other kinds of love. It would be roughly equivalent if we take the three basic colors in light, not in pigment, but in light. The three basic colors in light are blue, green, and red. And it's by the combination of those three colors that any other color can be produced in light, like on television or with lights that are used on stage. Green, blue, and red. And if you have only those words, then maroon, cherry red, pink, and even the orange of my shirt are all called red. They're reds. They're not blues or greens, they're reds. And if we don't have words to distinguish between those colors, everything's red. It all muddles together. And that's what we've suffered in the English language, having just one word for love. That's the loss of that word charity. And it's lost even so far now that it's pejorative, unless I'm giving it. If I give it, it's okay. But if I'm I don't want your charity. And there's some kind of unholy pride that we have about receiving. We know that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so I'm sure I'm going to stay on one half of that equation and never get on the other half of it. Now, Jesus doesn't say it's damned to receive. He doesn't even say it's not blessed to receive. In fact, most of our life is a blessing of having received from the abundance of God. My very existence is something I received. The food I get every day, I receive from the abundance of this earth. It may have taken some work to plant it and harvest it and transport it, but I sure didn't make it. God made it. It's abundance, and I receive it every day. That's charity that I receive. I remember some years ago, a family of five, mom, dad, three kids, were found dead in their car with a note from the dad which said, "We were unwilling to take charity. We were unwilling to take charity." It's unholy pride. Unholy pride to be unwilling to take charity. Listen to this from Luke 6. This is Jesus speaking. "If you give, you will receive." Now, you could say, "Well, thanks a lot, Jesus, but I'm just going to stay here on the giving side. Don't bother to give me anything to receive. Don't need that. Don't want it. I'm just fine. Let me give. Don't force any of this receiving stuff on me." Well, you'd say that to Jesus if you like. I don't think I would. Here's what... Correcting Jesus is not always the wisest course. All right, let me finish this. "If you give, you will receive." And listen to what he says about how you receive. "Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you." So there's a balance in this. It isn't just something that's intended to drain us dry. There's something here fundamental about giving and receiving. Fundamental about both. Fundamental about having the humility to receive rather than believing that that is humiliation. shame. Having the humility to receive. We receive every day, as I said, from God's abundance. The air I breathe. I didn't create it. I receive it. I need to learn to receive as well as give. And there's an even deeper principle here, which we'll get to in just a moment. Psalm 37, which we heard read today, we participated in reading it. Verse 3, put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on its riches. That's provision that we're given. John 16:12, Jesus says, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting His own ideas. He will be telling you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever He receives from me. Listen to that. The Holy Spirit receives from Jesus. All that the Father has is mine. This is what I mean when I say the Spirit will reveal to you whatever He receives from me. Look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons I'm a Trinitarian and not a Unitarian is because the very essence of who God is represented in the Trinity. It is three persons, one God, but three persons in self-giving submission to one another. Each gives and each receives from the other. And as you read through Scripture, you see this constantly. There is constant mutual submission, and there is constant receiving, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it is in that image that we are made. It is not in the image of God for us to just be the proud givers. And in fact, I would say fundamental to who we are and how we are made is that we have needs that we cannot satisfy ourselves. Said differently, every one of us has abilities. Every one of us has disabilities. Every one of us has gifts. Every one of us has needs. I believe God designed us that way on purpose, both because it's a reflection of the very Godhead, but also because it teaches us how to love each other, how to give and receive to each other, how to meet each other's needs as our needs are met. This giving and receiving is fundamental to understanding what love is. It is the heart of charity. The heart of charity gives. The heart of charity is humble enough to receive. The heart of charity gives what it has as gifts, be that money or talent or time, and it receives what it needs, be that money or talent or time, without being humiliated by being on the receiving end of charity. Because if I'm unwilling to receive, how can you be blessed by giving? Duh! I mean, this is pretty simple stuff. It's a two-way street. It's got to be.